Jeffrey Silver is professor of pediatrics and anesthesiology and critical care at the University of Pennsylvania School of Medicine and professor of healthcare management at the Wharton School. He is the director of the Center for Outcomes Research at Children's Hospital of Philadelphia and a senior fellow at the Leonard David Institute of Health Economics. As a pediatrician and healthcare economist, Dr. Silver is an internationally recognized authority in severity or illness adjustment of medical outcomes for both adult and pediatric populations, and has published extensively on measure development and risk adjustment for use in comparing hospital quality. Along these lines, Dr. Silver developed the now widely used metric failure to rescue in 1990 and continues to conduct major studies looking at hospital quality. He is a two-time winner of the Article of the Year Award from Academy Health, winning most recently in 2011 for his studies on aggressive surgical care. Dr. Silber has been conducting studies in health services research using Medicare claims for over 20 years, and his recent work involves extensive use of multivariate matching, and with Paul Rosenbaum has developed numerous new approaches to matching studies using Medicare claims. Dr. Silber has been the first to develop and validate a measure of operative procedure length using Medicare claims, and today we'll describe some interesting results on operative time and race using this measure as in a multivariate matching framework. So with that, I'd like to introduce Dr. Silber.
Well, thank you. It's nice to be here. It's interesting. I really appreciate Sari for inviting me, and Ernest for probably figuring out that that might be a good idea. But our work has been in different areas, but they're kind of converging, and this seems like an ideal opportunity to explore that. Acknowledge some of the people that have helped with doing a lot of the work and the funding agencies, ARC, NIDDK, and National Science Foundation. Okay, well, I'm going to talk about, let me first start with an overview of what I'm going to talk about. I want to describe why operative time is important from a quality perspective. Go over a little bit, very briefly, the literature concerning the relationship between operative time and infection, and then discuss new methods to determine operative time from Medicare claims, discuss new methods to compare procedure length across racial groups using multivariate matching, and then show you some results of procedure length differences by race and some very preliminary data on infection rates by race and operative time, and then talk about how these new approaches can be used to better understand disparities in process and outcomes in general. So why is operative time important from a quality perspective? Well, it's a classic process measure, and it often reflects the experience of the surgeon. Sukri Curry did a study in 2001 where using the National Surgical Quality Program data, NISQIP data, I call it from the VA, where he showed that residents are much slower than attendings. And this was one of the better papers that kind of quantified that almost half-hour difference in a two-hour operation and then talked about potentials for complications. Other studies have gone into that in more detail since then. And operative time is associated with complications, infection, deep vein thrombosis, pulmonary embolism, and respiratory complications, to name a few. Now, back at the time when I was in medical school, some of the textbooks would talk about operative time, and here's one, Arts and Hardy in 76, in complications of surgery and their management, prolonged operative procedures result in a more common incidence of wound infection. And then Schwartz, which was the textbook when I was a student, duration, that's a long time ago, duration of the operation exerts a profound effect on the incidence of wound infection. And there have been others that kind of other books that say the same thing. There can be little doubt of the independent influence of operative time on the incidence of wound infection and sepsis. So there's a literature. I've listed a few recent papers here. Part of the problem with this literature is oftentimes they're small studies. Secondly, they are confounded with training and training institutions, which might also relate to the length of the surgery. So what do I mean by operative time, and how do we observe operative time in Medicare claims, and how valid is the measure? Let me talk about that. Until now, studies using operative time in the Medicare population have been limited to a single or very few institutions when they do a study, because it's usually chart review. And what is it that, what is operative time? Well, we talk about it, we use different terminology, but I'm going to talk about surgical time as the time from incision to closure. It's actually to the beginning of closure. And then anesthesia time is induction to recovery room. So induction to recovery room is the whole span. So that's usually what we talk about is the procedure time. But we can also get a subset of that, which is the surgical time. And I'll show you how those relate. Well, in 1994, a nice thing happened for us in that billing for the anesthetist and the anesthesiologist changed to a by-the-minute system. It's actually reported in fractional 15-minute intervals, but when I say fractional, it's reported in 1.5-minute intervals so that you're allowed a tenth of a unit, and a unit is 15 minutes. Anesthetist bills, anesthesiologist, nurse anesthetist for Medicare, up to that point had never been utilized to examine, or actually up to recently have never been utilized to examine procedure time. Since we published the first paper in 2007, there have been now more studies that are looking at operative time. So to go into a little bit more detail about how we get it, there's a base unit for a surgery and there's a time unit in operative time in anesthesia claims. We're talking about the time unit. It's not simple. You just can't go into the bill and immediately determine the time. But when you decipher the logic in the billing algorithm and make some assumptions about who is billing for what, you can figure out the time fairly well, and I'll get to that data in a second. And as I mentioned, you're really talking about units are 15-minute intervals, but they're to the tenth, so that it's really 1.5-minute intervals is the resolution of the reporting. And we choose the single longest anesthesia bill associated with the same day as the principal procedure, because you could have a team of an anesthesiologist or anesthetist, and you don't want to double count the time when both are billing for the same time. So there are details in the billing. Now, what's nice about using a bill from Medicare or to Medicare from the anesthesiologist is that they're available for literally all procedures performed in the OR for Medicare patients. Procedure length is highly dependent on the surgeon, not patient compliance. It's not something that the patient's going to affect in any great way. It's really what the surgeon does, and I'll show you data between the surgeon and the anesthesiologist. And length is less dependent on the past history of the patient. We've kind of reported on that. It's not that sensitive to unobserved severity. And that the time really isn't gamed, at least from the perspective of a disparity. The time might be gamed in that you might think that anesthesiologists might overbill by showing a longer procedure, but actually these things are audited very carefully, and there's fraud if you bill for a state that your procedure took longer than what it did. So again, the time abstraction. We actually did a few studies trying to validate the measure. The first was on about 2,000 charts from a study that we did a number of years ago and published in 2007. And then we, in a more recent study with 14,000 charts as part of a study on obesity and surgical outcomes where we looked at non-obese and obese, but we had a large number of charts. We actually could, we abstracted the start time, the start of the incision, the start of the closure, and the recovery room or ICU time. And then from that, we compared the bills, the way we obtained them from the Medicare claims, to the actual charts and looked at the correlation. And these are the correlations in the 14,000 charts. So we have a Spearman correlation of 0.94, a Pearson of 0.87, and a median absolute difference of about 5 minutes. So we do get a pretty good sense for how long surgery takes. This is an example in the 2000 chart, in the 2000 patient study, 1931 patients. This is what the curve, the correlation looks like. There are some outliers, and your eye might be drawn to that, but there's almost 2,000 points on that slide, so you can look at some of the ones where they're off. But most of the time, you do a very good job. So we have a nice measure of operative time, so what can we do with it? Well, as I mentioned in previous work, we reported, In previous work, we reported that operative time was longer for black patients than white patients in Pennsylvania, something we published in 2007. And in new work using multivariate matching, we explore this question in a number of analyses, which I'm going to show you, to help understand these findings. Our concern is that longer procedure time in Medicare minority populations may be an indication that minorities are receiving care from more inexperienced or less skilled providers, and that's what's kind of driven our work. Now, this was from that 2007 paper. I've highlighted just a few of these contrasts, but on the along this axis, the y-axis, I've got or the vertical axis, I've got blacks with low income, whites with low income, median income, and high income for the data set based on the census track data, and then similarly across the top. And so I'm going to compare different groups, and these are adjusted over orthopedic and general surgery procedures, and this is data in Pennsylvania. And I've given you the N's here. So that what I'm reporting is the difference, the time of the black patient minus the white patient for the adjusted differences in their operative time. And so if you look at low-income black patients versus the low-income white patients, you get about a half-hour difference in Pennsylvania in operative time. And if you then look at high-income whites and to the low-income blacks, you get about a 27-minute difference. But if you look at the high-income black patients, it's a small number, but the difference is cut in half or more. It's down to 12 minutes. But there is a considerable difference in operative time between groups. Now, the problem with this analysis is we didn't adjust for the hospital. So it could be that black patients are going to hospitals that are slower, like teaching hospitals, which wouldn't be a bad thing necessarily, and we'll look at that. So if we adjust for the hospital, we still see considerable differences. They're not, on average, as large. We're talking about, instead of 29 minutes, 9 minutes, 8 minutes, and then it's interesting, if you look at high-income patients, there's no difference in op time between blacks and whites. Again, it's with a very small sample of blacks. So you need to adjust for the hospital, or what's going on at the hospital level is very, very important. So we have to consider that in our analyses. But it's interesting either way. I mean, it is interesting that black patients are going to institutions where they're clearly slower. Where the institutions are, but even inside the institution, you're seeing considerable differences. I'm going to get at what 9 and 8 minutes means, but I'm just going to mention that that's just the average. And what you're really interested in is not what typically happens, but because we might not imagine that typically there's a disparity, you know, in every interaction. But you're interested in what happens when the operations are longer, and you know, I'll get into that in more detail. But the 9 minutes is deceptive. I think the problem is much bigger than what that might display. Now, this is that from that same 2007 paper where we look inside the hospitals in Pennsylvania. And the main point I want to make here, and this is the black-white difference adjusted for the procedures, and these are various hospitals, major teaching hospitals. They're mostly major and very major teaching hospitals where we could do the analysis. And in those, we see there's a variability. Some hospitals have no difference and there's no statistical significance on average. Other hospitals have quite large differences on average, which means the tails could be very big. And so the lesson we learned is that not all hospitals are the same within Pennsylvania. Some hospitals have a disparity and some don't. Well, why might there be a disparity in operative time inside a hospital? Well, there might be some reasons that are really, when I say based on fairness, really, well, they're reasons that aren't telling us that there's an unfair system. You might have unobserved severity, at least unfair system in the process of getting surgery at a hospital. You might have unobserved severity, differences between whites and blacks. There might be differences in the way the primary care provider is referring minority patients to surgeons. Maybe patients are admitted from the ER and get a different surgical staff. There might be emergency surgery, not just admitted from the ER, but more need for emergency surgery and weekend surgery. These things might be reasons why we might see a disparity, and maybe it's not because of an unfair practice at the hospital. It's still a problem. But we also might see unfair practices in the hospital. We'd say, you know, based on, say, an injustice. So different surgeons are assigned to different patients, or for some reason, minority patients get the physician in training, or which we think would be something that we would need to examine and understand why that would be the case. Risk of litigation. It might be that in places that are more worried about litigation, there are some instances of referring of selecting patients in different ways for different levels of surgical skill, and that it could just be overt racism. Now, these are just hypotheses or different things to explore, but our point is there's some reasons that a disparity could occur within a hospital that are really out of the hospital's control. There's others where it's very much in the hospital's control. So why do we care about the 10 to 15 minute difference that we talked about? Well, there might be an average of 10 to 15 minutes, and most of the time there's no disparity, but when there is a disparity, it could be a large disparity. And that's what we want to look at, and I'll show you some data. And we can study the distributions of the differences to better understand this. Now, we're never going to be able to know exactly what's going on short of videotaping every operation. It's in teaching hospitals, it's not always clear from the chart or the claim who is performing the surgery. Is the resident doing the dissection and the attending is letting the resident cut, or is the attending telling the resident just hold the retractor? And that could cause a great difference in the rate, in the speed of the surgery. And differential times between resident and the attending may help, therefore, in identifying the providers. Now, how do we actually compare patients in order to look at differences in, say, in across race to see differences in time? Well, we want to match on the procedure, first of all. So we might want to do multivariate matching where we find matched pairs and find two patients, one white, one black, and make sure that their procedure's the same. We would want maybe their age to be the same and a list of comorbidities to be the same, even though we have shown in other work that the comorbidities don't wildly change the expected operative time. For weight racial comparisons, we also use a propensity score, so it would be propensity to be black. Put in all the variables we can to put into the propensity score and then balance that, find white patients that have those same characteristics of the comorbidities and diagnoses that black patients would have, and then match accordingly. We basically structure the matches so that we minimize a distance. It's a Mahalanobis distance, which I'll show you a little bit about what that is. But that's the basic framework. And then we put penalties for mismatches inside the black-white pairs. And then we also have techniques to what we call fine balance on hospital, where we make sure that we have an equal number of whites and blacks represented at each hospital. And one final point about matching is that, well, the beautiful thing about matching is that you do the matches first, and then you stop. And only after you've decided the matching is complete do you then, in a sense, break the code and look at the outcomes. So the nice thing about matching, unlike regression, in regression, every time you run a regression and press the button to run the regression, you end up seeing the results. You look at your beta, you look at your coefficients, and you can't help but see what the answer is. In matching, you spend a lot of time doing the matching, and when that's done, you then can look at the outcomes. So it's in one sense, keeps you, in a sense, from doing multiple testing. Many times will you try to fix the match, make sure the match is just right, that I'm really comparing two patients that look similar. But after that, when I'm done, we look at the results and see what happened. So I'm going to report data from two different studies. One is the OPSAS study. This is a study that's funded through the NIDDK, where we've been looking at obese and non-obese patients, but we also can look at race, and so I report some data from that. This is where we got 47 hospitals throughout New York, Illinois, and Texas to let us abstract 15,000 patient charts and then study. We had detailed physiology, we had the operative times, and then we had this link to Medicare claims so we know how people did. And we also are doing a pilot study on Illinois patients for a six-state study that we're doing funded through ARC, looking at operative time and race. So I'm going to show you some data from the OPSAS study that relates to race, and then a pilot study for the big six-state study but I'm just going to be looking at Illinois in that. And again, the outcome was the operative time is obtained from the Medicare anesthesia bill, or in the OPSA study we had chart review, but I showed you those are very highly correlated. Okay. So I'm going to show you matches first and then show you their differences in time. This would be a typical way that we look at a match. This is in the OPSA study, the 47 hospital study. In this study, we matched on hospital. We matched exactly on hospital and on procedure. We did not match on BMI for this first match. But for the rest of the variables, and there's about 20 others, we matched and they looked like this. We got very similar matches, and I'll kind of walk you through a typical one. This would be age. So the black patients that we had in the study, there were 779. They were aged 72.05 years. The whites were 71.99 years. All white, that was the matched whites. All whites were 72.78. So before matching, we had about a 0.18 difference in the standard deviation. This is related to the Mahalanobis distance. After matching, we get a 0.01 standard deviation difference. Our goal in general in matching is to have standard deviation differences of less than 0.1, because it's been shown that's probably close enough to get rid of the bias. And then we also are interested in the p-values between the black and white patients that are matched to see if there are statistical differences. So in this case, we didn't match on BMI. We got very good matches, and even not matching on body mass index, we got only a 0.13 difference in the standard deviation for BMI. But if we match on it, we get down to 0.03. And we get very good matches. What I'm trying to describe is just that you can get very good matches between whites and blacks with using multivariate matching techniques. So what do we get from this? Well, let me show you the first main result. And I'm going to show the match with and without BMI matching and with BMI matching. And now this is the difference in time, black minus white, for the anesthesia procedure. That's induction to recovery room. So that's the whole span of the operation. And we're seeing that in this study, it's a small study, but we see an 11-minute difference when we don't match on BMI and a 9-minute difference if we do. Now, because we had chart abstraction, we also could look at the surgical time cut to close. And there we get 10.7 versus and 9.4. Again, we get about a 10-minute difference between whites and blacks. This is the difference without BMI matching. This is with. And then if you look at the anesthesia time, which is the time from induction to cut and from close to recovery room, we see that there's almost no difference in time. We're talking about a 1-minute difference to almost a zero, going in the other direction. So we see that the action in terms of the disparity is going on with the surgeon. It's not going on with the anesthesiologist. And then if we look at what the extremes look like, in this case, looking at the medians, we see the very same similar thing. I'll show you the extremes in a minute. This is just a QQ plot, or a look at the distribution of times between blacks and whites. These are the black patients. These are the white patients. If the times were the same between whites and blacks, you'd have them on the line of identity. And what you've got is that blacks are, for the whole distribution, above whites in terms of their operative time. Now, remember, these patients all come from a very closely matched population, although these aren't the individual matched points. These are the distributions, the quantiles. The same is true for whether we match with BMI or not. So what does this mean? So I think this slide is one of the more important slides, and it shows you, I think, the worry or the main effect of what we see is a 9-minute difference or 8-minute difference. We look at the matched pairs now, and we ask, is there a difference among the matched pairs when there was no real difference in time, where both members of the pair, the difference in the time between both pairs was almost zero, between 0 and 5 minutes. And there, the odds that the black patient had the longer time when there was a very small difference was basically it was one-to-one odds. Whereas if we look at big differences in time, when there's an hour difference, let's say, between any member of the matched pair, what's the odds that the longer patient was black? We're talking about a 1.6 odds, or a 60% increase in the odds. So If you have matched patients and you ask who's likely to take longer in surgery, for small differences, there isn't a huge effect between race. But the big differences in the big problems, you see this very large difference. Blacks are much more likely to be the longer in the pair. The same is true if you adjust for BMI, 1.58 rather than 1.6. Now, we then leave the smaller study and go to the state of Illinois and ask, well, what's going on in Illinois? This is Medicare claims. This is now just looking at hips and knees in Illinois as a first pass for this. And we did matching. And the first set of matching, and I won't go through all the details, but the first set of matching is just by patient. The second match, also showing good matches, is by patient and matching within the HRR of the hospital. The third is matching within patient HRR, health referral region, and also the resident to bed ratio of the hospital. And then the last match adjusts for the hospital, trying to do an inside the hospital match. It's called a fine balance on the hospital. All of the different, what we call diffavs, the distances are very small. So we got excellent matches. And let me show you some of the results for Illinois. So if you look at the difference in time between blacks and whites in match one, just matching on patient but not hospital, there's a 23-minute difference. And then after you match on the HRR or the resident to bed, or the HRR with the resident to bed ratio and then fine balance on the hospital, you get about a 13-minute difference. Kind of similar to the original study we did in Pennsylvania, still seeing this. But you also see that huge differences, black time being much longer than white time at the extremes. Okay. And this is just to give you those same QQ plots. You get an idea. Black time is, you know, much greater than white time in general. And then you still see as the time goes up, there's this big difference between whites and blacks. Blacks have longer procedure times at the extremes. And so if we then look at the same technique of looking at matched pairs and saying, who's longer in a matched pair when there is no difference and when there is a difference? When there's no difference between the two pairs and you ask, you know, well, we don't really care, but who's longer? There's not much of a difference. Blacks and whites are about the same likelihood of being the longer in the pair. But when you have a big difference, like an hour difference between patients, you're having almost a threefold increase in Illinois for a patient to be black. And then if you adjust for the HRR, it's still almost twofold. You adjust for the resident to bed ratio, it's twofold. And you adjust for the hospital, and you're still getting almost a twofold difference. More likely to be black than white for long procedures. But, of course, they're matched for the same procedure, the same comorbidities, same hospital there. Now, what about resident to bed ratio? Well, we did see, I think, an interesting effect, and that is that in the non-teaching hospitals, we saw an effect of about a 1.2 odds that the black patient of the matched pair was longer than the white patient in terms of their surgery. But when you get to the very intensive teaching hospitals, you're getting about a 1.56, 1.6 odds. We had this little blip here at the small teaching hospitals, but the sample size is also smaller. But we're seeing that, in general, there's a pretty reasonable trend that we're seeing that the higher the resident to bed ratio, the greater the disparity. So the last thing I wanted to show you was infection rates. Now, up to now, I've talked about just this difference in operative time, and we know there's a relationship between operative time and infection. So I just wanted to show you, because this is what this conference was about, I did want to show you just a little bit of data on infection. We did done work on the infection side yet. So this is kind of very preliminary information, and I think it's obviously just a beginning. But here we looked at the Illinois data. This is in an unpaired, unmatched sense, but we adjusted for the patient characteristics. And if you look at the odds of getting an infection, and now this was over actually five conditions. This was knees, hips, colectomies, and thoracotomies, because those are the conditions we used in what we call the OPSA study, the Obesity and Surgical Outcome Study. But just to look at race in that, we found that there wasn't much of a significant effect in terms of all procedures. Let me skip. Oops. But if you looked at some procedures, and again, this is just totally preliminary, but you looked at colectomies, we found a very big difference with race. So we didn't find much of a difference in infection for hip and for knee, but when you look at colectomies, you see a very, very big difference where you've got odds ratio of 1.36. Again, very preliminary data. Now, if you put in, go back for a minute, if you put in time into the regression, if you take out race and put in time, you do see a significant effect overall for all the operations. And then when you put race and time in together, the race effect wasn't much to begin with, and then the time effect persisted. And then when we did this with colectomy alone, we got that the race effect actually pushed down somewhat. Again, these numbers aren't real big. Pushed down the time effect. So that's where we are right now. It's kind of we're just beginning to look at this topic. I think we have obviously a lot of work to do in terms of teasing out these effects. But the point is that we do see a race effect for some conditions, not all conditions. So in summary, black procedure length is longer than white procedure length in general. This difference or disparity is not due to procedure. It's not due to BMI. It's not due to comorbidities. And it's not due to insurance status. Everyone here are Medicare patients that have Part B as well, Part A and B. This difference persists even when adjusting for the individual hospital. Teaching status is associated with this disparity, and the greater the RB ratio, the resident to bed ratio, generally the greater the time disparity. The disparity in procedure length appears to be associated with surgical but not anesthesia care. And the disparity in infection rates appears to be procedure specific. So we saw it in colectomy, but we didn't see it in hip. The disparity in infection rates, we have yet to demonstrate, and the last data I showed you, that the procedure time disparity is contributing to an infection rate disparity. But I think we've just begun to carefully study this, and we have not yet done multivariate matching on a large scale. So let me stop there. Thank you. Should we all get up?
To ask a question about, I think it's interesting to look at all of these different issues and look at creating the research agenda going forward from where we are now. And I'm wondering if I can sort of usurp the floor and as moderator, with an iron fist, jump in before I give anybody else a chance to ask any questions and ask if you guys can both comment a little bit based on some of the work that you've done, Dr. Silver. It's really interesting to see. There's almost a very clear research agenda of where you're going to go next. And I'm wondering if you can comment a little bit about that and about some other areas that you think would be helpful to be able to tease out some of these different effects.
Yeah, I mean, I was really glad that you invited me to give this talk and made me think about this question. We've been concentrating on looking at operative time as a disparity in and of itself, because we thought it shouldn't occur, but we hadn't really tried to quantitate yet the relationship between that and infection. And so the research agenda is clear in that, I mean, if we're using claims, and the advantage of using claims, Medicare claims, is that you've got millions of claims and we can look over all the states and there are problems, and you mentioned, Ernie, mentioned the problems that occur, the data isn't as good, the definition of race isn't as good. But clearly what we want to do is get a good definition of a hospital or healthcare acquired infection rate using claims and kind of explore that literature. I know that there are many people working on that, but to the extent we can do that, you need linked data. And that's the beauty of Medicare claims, is that we do have linked data, because a lot of the infections are going to occur after the patient's discharged, and they're going to be readmitted for an infection, or they're going to be treated on the outpatient side for an infection. So you really need to be able to have linked data that picks up those outpatient office, the outpatient visits, the office visits, or else you're going to miss it. So I worry, for example, in the HCUP data, 30-state data, it's not linked, so you're going to miss a chunk of those infections in the patients that went home. So what we really have to do is nail down some good definitions. I created some based on some failure to rescue 30-day definitions of infection, and also we went through the literature and picked up some others. But we need to, what I need to do, and our group has to do, is do a much better job at defining these infection rates, both in hospital and 30-day or 60-day, some period that you decide on, so we can kind of do a better job at defining the infection rate. And then, of course, we have to do a better job at defining race. And I think I'm excited to try to tease out this relationship between how much of the disparity that I now know exists, I didn't necessarily know that was going to exist in terms of infection rates, how much of that could be related to the length of the surgery. Now, another agenda that I want to do is actually just ask the question, how much does operative time really affect infection? Especially now when we have prophylaxis, and maybe those textbooks when I went to medical school aren't really relevant anymore because we're prophylaxing. But, I showed you those last two regressions to show you kind of what we might be doing, and, the numbers didn't look real impressive, but I think it's a first attempt, mainly just to kind of think about where we want to go. But my sense is it'd be very interesting to see if operative time was explaining a good portion, or at least some portion, of the disparity. And it is something that we could potentially work on, because if the operative time is related to the selection of patients by the skill set of the surgeons, then and if there's a disparity there, then I think that's something that we could correct.
It seems like it also dovetails really nicely with some of the work that I referenced that's been published recently by Dr. Warner is at UPenn.
Rachel,
I know she's done quite a bit around the effect of the hospital, that minorities are going to hospitals that have longer operative time. Well, she hasn't made that. She hasn't gone to the operative time measure, but
yeah.
that have performed worse on some of these key quality medical measures.
I have a problem. I have a bias, and that is that I love Rachel Werner's work. It's just I don't believe too much in a lot of the process measures that are out there. So I'm not convinced that that's going to nail it down. With great detail in process measures. You look back at the RAND studies, Kahn and Rubenstein's work, when RAND was trying to see if the DRG system had an impact on quality when it was first introduced, and RAND and Bob Brook came out with all these studies. They did very detailed process measurement for lots of different procedures and conditions, and I thought that meant something. And then what's happened is, for expediency, we pick up on these very few, very superficial metrics that are created by committee, because everyone wants. And so you get to the lowest denominator of the easiest measure that somehow might mean something, and I think we lose a lot when we do that. So I'd love to see much more detailed process measures in general. And so then I would believe more the general comments about whether one group or the other is going to better or worse hospitals. I also have a great problem with hospital compare. And that opens up a whole other area. But hospital compare, in terms of their outcome statistics, are wildly biased, in that they underestimate the problems of small hospitals because of the Bayesian modeling that they do. And I know this is a topic that a lot of people are now beginning to be aware of, and we've written on that. But hospital compare has a lot of problems, and it might be not really showing some of the differences that you might expect to see. Mm-hmm. Going on. Go ahead.
So we're going to hog up the whole conversation up here. I was going to say I was interested very quickly. In the variation across different kinds of procedures, that you saw the racial disparities in colectomy, which is really non-discretionary. And if you have cancer, you're going to have a colectomy. Whereas the knees and the hips are elective.
Right.
And you don't see the difference there, and it seems to be driven by time. And so I think trying to identify some of the variation across the procedures.
And the fact that colectomies are not elective, but at the same time, who operates on you might be different when you get your colectomy. So maybe skill makes a really big difference in terms of an infection rate in colectomy, and maybe it doesn't so much for a knee procedure. And the other thing I think is you're absolutely right in that, you know, the surgeons might be able to select specific patients they think would be at lower risk for whatever reason in the knee procedure, so it's a little bit harder in the elective procedures to know whether, well, put it this way, you know, there might be some pre-selection that lowers the overall rates of infection.
Questions from?
Yeah, quick comment to Dr. Silver about I'm a UCSF medical student, and they're still telling us, you know, cut down the time. So I think it's still
okay.
Still using the force of surgery. And also on that last point, I think even colectomies, I think maybe there's some contribution of like access and sort of you know barriers to like it. You know, maybe there's a problem with getting to the hospital. You're there at a later stage. Might explain some of it. Some of it. And maybe looking at something like Abby's or something that's really acute and not really, because I can still see, maybe not, but like if you're doing more, patients might be coming at later stages depending on, you know, your population. I mean, maybe something like an Abby where it's more acute, not really health behavior as much.
Then you worry that the healthcare system would be affecting the time that it took to get to the hospital, so that you'd have more of a burst appendix, which would then lead to infection.
Right.
So appendicitis might not be the right disease, but
right. What
we can do, and what we haven't done, but we have the data actually, is we have SEER data linked to Medicare. So with SEER, we would know the stage of the colon cancer, for example. We'd know, and so there you could actually adjust the time, look at the stage, and then maybe look at that. That might be particularly interesting.
Yeah, that was really interesting, especially last part. And then for Dr. Moyer, I was going to ask you about the, did you see a difference in length of time in the hospital? Because I was thinking it's somewhat paradoxical, at least in my, you know, short experience, like a lot of the patients who were, you know, in the hospital and lower income or education, they're actually trying to get them out quicker. And there's less opportunity to get an infection. But you still saw these rates that are higher. And so I'm just wondering if there was a difference in length of time in the hospital.
Not enough for us to see, let's put it that way. What we do see is that when you have one of these complications, your length of stay is much higher than if you don't have one of these complications. But with or without, we don't see much difference in the length of stay across different racial groups, for instance.
But all the more important to have a linked data set that knows what goes on after the hospitalization.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You had a question?
Yeah, I was just going to feedback. I came out of first of disclosure. I came out of the county health system. And now I'm with HRET, it does a lot of the studies around these central line infections and all this other points. But to the point I'm really about location. One thing, having worked in the safety net hospital system, it is not so much traveling the distance or any of those factors inside the hospital. It really is, when you look at African Americans, it really comes down to, this is my hospital. Regardless of whether it's a public hospital, whether it's a teaching hospital or a private hospital, I'm going to go to this hospital. Now, that's what I want your thoughts on your location. And then my next question is, even within the county's hospital system, okay, so if you remove location and who's coming there, and you take teaching out of it, you're having a lot of rush attendees coming in. You're having Northwestern attendees coming into our health system. You've got really some great folks in the county health system. So it's not so much the surgeons. So what really is going on that's explaining this time difference beyond maybe the disease or maybe the comorbidities that you're presenting as you're coming in.
Yeah. I'm not quite sure you said not the surgeons. I didn't quite understand.
Well, if we're saying that we want to look, I heard a lot about teaching hospitals, the difference between teaching hospitals, public safety net hospitals, private hospitals. Well, the county system is set up in a way that we have attendees coming in from Northwestern University, we have attendees coming out of Washington, we have high-quality surgeons, even inside the county system.
Are there residents that are operating?
And they're residents operating
and
as well.
And my bet is that the residents get are excited to work with Cook County because they get to operate, they get to cut. Right. I mean, that's my guess. Right. And even within the hospital, you know, we looked at Illinois. It's really interesting. We're probably not going to publish this because we like to take a state as our test state, work out all our methods,
right,
and then we'll publish the other states' analyses. But we feel like it, you know, we're not sure we're going to ever publish this. But if you look at Illinois, and you look at the south side of Illinois, right, they move, they get their surgery outside of the South Side.
Yeah.
If you're black, you get your surgery in the South Side.
Yeah.
And if you look at the operative time, you know, you see these huge differences in operative time, as I showed you, right? They were the almost 23-minute differences. And they come way down when you look at the HRR of the hospital. So the whites are moving to other hospitals. They're not all teaching hospitals, and they must be faster. And black patients, for whatever reason, are not moving, as you were suggesting, but, and their rates are much slower. Now, this is confounded with the fact that there's teaching hospitals that are slow, but I wonder what's going on in the non-teaching hospitals or in the low-resident bed teaching hospitals, low-resident bed or non-teaching hospitals. You still see that disparity, and I haven't teased that out yet. But one thing was we were kind of blown away by was just the geographic, if you're white at the South Side, you go elsewhere, North Side or elsewhere for your surgery. But if you're black, you don't really go elsewhere. And then you look at the time differentials and they go along with that. So,
have you figured out a variable that accounts? I can see why I would say don't use data for you. I would tell them not to use the county, except from the fact that, one, we're still trying to put in our base work, still trying to put in the electronic medical record. And we don't have link data to our primary care network, so we compound it in a number of ways. So that's in our investment into our county health system is far weaker in terms of the education that this gentleman was talking about, the prep work prior to that. So you're coming into our ER, then you're going up to surgery, you might get a few moments with that nurse going out the door, and that's it. The next time we're seeing you, we're either seeing you in two places, back in our ER because you had an infection, or we may see you in an outpatient visit 6 months later because you just couldn't get off work to come in to see us. So I'm just kind of curious.
Yeah, and our data just, you know, so for our work, it's all Medicare patients, so they're not going to go because they have insurance, right? So these are all insured. That's the thing. This disparity is going on in patients that have exactly the same insurance. They all have Part A and Part B. Because we can't pick up the records otherwise. So it's a selected population. It's not Cook County Hospital. The patients that don't need to go to Cook County Hospital, they still have to see this huge disparity.
And last, I just want to say, I think in terms of how we talk about healthcare, it makes it difficult, particularly African Americans. It's never advertised that you can shop around. So to your point, African Americans, if I need to get care, I'm going to the closest place possible, whether if I have insurance or not. For me, when I'm exercising my healthcare options, I know I can look around and I'm willing to drive 20 miles or 30 miles outside. So, just interesting. We'll be talking.
So this is kind of a half question, half methodological musing based on both of these talks, which is that if we ever do get to the point where we have a good racial classification for some of the smaller racial subgroups, one of the major critiques of matching is that, from a statistical standpoint, it's pretty inefficient. I mean, you can see that in your data, that you have this great, huge data set, which allows you to get matched populations because you have data to throw out. And so the question I have is that, especially for the operative time information, you have great time as a measure. So I guess my question is kind of two-part. Have you looking at that from kind of a survival analysis context? So rather than just asking what is the average time, essentially looking at a survival curve where your outcome is the end of surgery. And then in terms of regression models, which are slightly more efficient for subgroup analyses where you might not be able to leverage quite as big a data set, if you want to maintain some of that, I guess, analytical blinding, you could use something like an inverse probability of treatment weight, which is kind of an offshoot of propensity scores, where you still, the modeling you do for confounding adjustment doesn't look at the outcome, it looks at your probability of exposure, kind of exactly like matching. So you get that kind of same thing where you sit down and you think a lot about how your exposure works and how your population works, and then only then do you end up looking at the outcome.
You know, those are reasonable approaches. People have been perfectly reasonable. I haven't tried the Cox regression approach, and that's interesting. have to think about that. But, you know, you got to remember that we're talking about an analysis of a minority population. You're worried about efficiency, but it's really not too much a problem generally, because in almost all the hospitals, right, blacks are a minority, and you've got very nice matching ratios. So we're not throwing out any blacks, right? We're throwing out only the whites that didn't match to blacks. So I'm not quite sure, I might be missing your point, but in terms of my sample size and my overall calculations, I've got everything I need. Now, the problem that we do have a conceptual problem in the hospitals that are mostly black. But if we're looking at disparities, we're not, you know, how relevant is the disparity in a hospital that's 90% black? There are different approaches to do that. In other words, I'm talking about the disparity inside the hospital. Across, of course, there's no problem. You can analyze those patients, or you can show that your analysis wouldn't change if you included those or didn't. But in terms of the question of getting the most matches possible, you could match, use the white as the minority and match blacks to them. We struggle with what's the best way to present it. Most of the time, when we do these analyses, it's not going to make a huge bit of difference. But people worry about with matching, they worry over throwing out patients. But you're throwing out patients that you really don't want to be using. And secondly, we're not throwing out black patients, right? We're throwing out white patients. And we're having huge sample sizes because we're doing this, we're grinding this out across states. So I'm not quite sure I'm so worried about the power issue and the efficiency issue. And in terms of power, where we do have some issues about power would be inside an individual hospital. That's going to be the same. The power calculation isn't going to change much. If I increase the white population from 10-fold more than blacks to 20-fold more than blacks, that's not going to be the issue. So I guess I'm not that concerned about efficiency and the worry. And what I get is I get a much better study, with much better resolution and less bias because I've controlled for the things that I want to control for. There's nothing like looking at those final matching tables and saying, yeah, I really do feel like I've got a very good match. It's a lot different than in regression when you just are hoping that the model somehow gets it all right. And in matching, you don't have to hope. At least you hope less. I'm somewhat biased.
Are there any other questions? Because we are actually just about out of time. So I'd like to thank our panelists one more time for coming. And I'd like to also thank all of you for coming. And I'd like to ask one more quick plug for the Health Equity and Public Hospital Caucus, that there's a sign-in sheet going around. And if you wouldn't mind taking a moment and just writing your name on the sign-in sheet and your email address, and we'll be sure to keep you posted about other sessions for this year, but really for next year, on issues of interest to public